starts with pictures of people in a hotel service.
Services. Amenity. Elevator. Curtains with sticks. You'll find all of this and more at Business Garden Inn and Suites and Hotel Room Inn.
I said suits, I'm sorry.
Cut to Catherine and Kathleen in the hotel.
Hello, I'm Kathleen, the front desk girl. Jesus.
And I'm Catherine, the same person as her. Other hotels provide relaxation, luxury, and romance.
Our rooms provide every comfort required by law.
Tiny soap and plastic.
Phone that blinks.
Band-aid colored blanket.
Chair for suitcase.
Black and white photo of first wheel.
Blow dryer that goes, ooh.
Short glass wearing little hat.
And small stain in place you have to touch.
And be sure to enjoy your hot tub.
It's always occupied by an 8-year-old boy in goggles staring at your breasts. He's been in there for hours, and he's not getting out until you do.
Want to see the local sights? Ask the concierge, Doreen.
But be warned, she's having a hard month. Every month.
Looking for adventure? See the cave. Every town has a cave. I'd love to go, but I can't afford to. And I apologize for crying when you stopped by earlier. I didn't sleep well last night. My dogs have taken over the bed, and the feral cat I rescued, it bit me pretty hard. So please, for me, see the cave.
Visit us and see why TripAdvisor called us a stock photo you can sleep in.
And why the news called us the place that man did those things.
We put the hospital in hospitality.
Situated between the DMV and a darkened Sonic, it's the location that will make your Uber driver say, "You sure?"
And breakfast means morning here at Business Garden Inn and Suites and Hotel Room Inn.
Fill up on all your continental breakfast favorites like
wet egg,
cereal in gumball machine,
DIY waffle,
sausage that squirts,
and yogurt in a fridge that gets padlocked at 8:59 a.m.
No mercy. You can look, but you can't touch.
You wanted yogurt? Wake up at 4, bitch.
And whatever you need, day or night, just ask Trevor, our bellhop / valet / night manager / in-house doctor.
We'll drop your bags. I will scratch your car. I will watch Joe Rogan videos on my phone. No headphones. If you're a man, I will tell you where the strip clubs are. I will offer to get you cocaine, and then I will flake. I am chaos.
So next time you travel, please stay with us.
Our guests join us for all of life's less sparkly moments.
Business conference.
Intervention.
Magic the Gathering tournament.
Affair with old man.
Meeting strangers who claims to have information.
Funeral for aunt who died driving the wrong way on the Taconic State Parkway.
Cult deprogramming.
After prom hand stuff.
And hiding from the police.
So join us at Business Garden Inn and Suites and Hotel Room Inn.
It's like we always say,
we may not be the Ritz-Carlton.
Business Garden Inn and Suites and Hotel Room Inn. See the cave.
See the caves, ladies and gentlemen.
See the cave.
Well, we took what should have been an easy layup, and we threw the ball across the court.
Nailed it.
I'm kind of questioning some of y'all's literacy at this point. Just looking at it, I'm reading along with it, and I'm just like, that's not what that says.
Well, part of it also because we know the skit by heart, and two, I can't read. So,
apparently you don't know it by heart.
Wait, which part? You tell me.
Words aren't matching. Words aren't matching. Play
you
back.
Tell me which part. Yeah, see? He can't tell me.
Was he going to play back where
you're
watching the show?
Here we go.
He would if he wasn't a coward.
I am a coward, and this is horse time. Why? Here on the Podzilla. Why did we do this on the Podzilla 1985 Network? It's a show about nothing, as opposed to the other shows we do on the network. With me, of course, tonight we have Double H.
It's Saturday.
Oh my God!
No,
I didn't.
I was working on it.
Gonna do it. I
didn't even remember my own bit. Holy shit! All right, let me try it again.
It's been a long time.
Oh, I got this. Give me a sec.
All right,
it's Saturday.
And it's not.
Oh, it's not? Oh.
Never has been.
The man himself.
Actually, I think it was once, and it was very confusing.
Yeah, no one liked that one. The man himself, Tanner Calvert's here.
Hey.
And special guest joining us tonight, he heard Dalton was on this week and said, I can do better, and he's right. Asa Gray, the five-star man.
Hello.
Look, all love to Asa, and I'm glad he's here, but honestly, anything's better than Dalton.
Hold on, let me finish my drink.
Poor Dalton. Poor Dalton was...
I just blocked him on Twitter.
Shunned. He was set aside by Smothers.
I know you're lying, because that would require you getting on Twitter.
I do. I think I still have two Twitter accounts, and both of them have been taken over by some kind of foreign agent. So do not visit me on Twitter, ladies and gentlemen.
Definitely a Russian election situation.
We had such a fantastic discussion before the show about the Landis family, which is something that I find interesting because Max Landis is Max Landis, and John Landis directed my favorite horror movie of all time, An American Werewolf in London, and it's a shame what happened. It all makes me uncomfortable. It all makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. That whole situation is, again, a shame, because I want to believe, Tanner, Shannon, that Max was going to be different, that he was going to be better than this. And, like, I look back at it now, and all signs point to yes. Like, all signs point to here comes the problems, right? Because he kind of seemed like that kid from the get-go, but I thought, you know what? He's overly energetic. He's just, you know, I don't know. He's just his kind of douchebag personality. I like a lot of content from people who are not, you know, necessarily fun people to be around because they're assholes, but it is what it is. And then in time, it proved to be the case that it wasn't just he was an asshole. It was he was a predatory asshole, and that's a whole separate situation.
I don't know any of Max Landis's work except for the Wrestling Isn't Wrestling, which...
Oh, yeah. American Alien.
I never so, read I mean, it. I never. I'm talking about so, I'm talking about movie and like video-wise.
In terms of comics, yes, his run on Superman, American Alien, is a limited run. It was really good. His YouTube stuff, he did the Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. He also did the Death and Return of Superman. Those two were kind of like short form movies that were pretty fun. And then in terms of his actual like film writing, his big claim to fame was that he never got any rewrites. He wrote stuff that never got, most of the time when you write something for Hollywood and it gets picked up and optioned by somebody, you put it out there and then they bring on like three or four or five other script doctors to help you, you know, punch up your script and all that and to change it a little bit. But he got two or three movies through. I know one was Mr. Right with Sam Rockwell and Anna Kendrick. One was American Ultra with Jesse Eisenberg and
Kristen Stewart.
Maybe
yeah.
Was in that.
Yep.
Yeah. Both of those are actually both really good, by the way. They just kind of flew in under the radar. And he did a Frankenstein movie, too. And for the life of me, I can't think of the name. Frankenstein, Frankenstein's Monster.
Victor Frankenstein. Frankenstein.
Victor Frankenstein.
With
a little Harry Potter in it. Daniel Radcliffe.
And Professor X. James.
Yeah, McAvoy.
Yeah.
He honestly, also none of those Chronicle. Movies are bad movies. Oh, yeah, yeah. I forget about Chronicle all the time. None of them bad movies, none of them connected really in any way, but a lot of stuff that he wrote that, again, he got sole script writing like credit for, and that was kind of his big claim to fame. All movies worth watching, for the record, just if nothing else for the casts. I mean, all of those people I listed are very good at what they do, and the movies are really not bad. It's just the guy, you know.
Well,
it's just the guy behind him.
The reason I brought that up is because you said that he'd be as better than his dad or as good as his dad. And I thought, I don't know, man. Looking at John Landis's directing career, I mean, dude directed Animal House, Blues Brothers, American Werewolf in London, Trading Places, Spies Like Us,
it was,
Three Amigos.
Again,
I mean,
for me, it was more of a, I hoped he could take that and run with it and be better overall. But again, I don't think he ever really directed outside of those YouTube things. Everything he did, he was writing.
He directed one film. It was Me, Him, Her.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember anything about that one. I don't think I saw that one.
It was a super indie film from 2015 from the looks of it.
So looking at his IMDb, this is going to... I don't know how Shannon's going to feel about this. It's been announced he's writing a screenplay for a remake of An American Werewolf in London.
Max Landis is?
Okay. So that was announced a long time ago. I would not put any faith into that, because that I remember this. That was announced back when I was still following this guy, and we're talking 4 or 5 years ago at least.
The last
this was before all the you know controversy, gotcha. All the stuff I've, came out.
I forgot he also wrote Bright. I forgot about that.
Oh, Bright, yeah.
And Shadow in the Cloud, Tanner. You remember that one? We talked about that one not too long ago with Chloe Moretz Grace, where she's a she's in the plane. Yeah, she
ended up being like an alien movie.
Yeah, the weird thing he wrote that. Speaking, all right,
he was in the running for the record before we move away from that. He wrote a treatment for Power Rangers, the one that got made, which didn't get picked up, and then they made the one they did, and it was what it was.
It was fine. It got a lot of hate.
And then he wrote a. This is the one that kind of breaks my heart. I don't know. Maybe it was a monkey's paw situation. He wrote a treatment for Ghostbusters, which I've talked about on the show before. Again, back even before all this came out, his treatment for what would have been Ghostbusters 2016, rather than a full, you know, basic reboot, only it wasn't, would have continued on the originals in a similar vein, kind of to the way that Afterlife did. It was overwrought. It was overblown. It's one of those movies that 100% he should not have gotten soul writing credit for, because it needed more. It needed to be punched up. It needed to be trimmed down a lot. But it was interesting. Reading it through was interesting. It was emotional if you're a big Ghostbusters fan. And he said that he pitched it, and Paul Feig pitched his thing, and they went, "We're going to reboot it." And it blows my mind now to go back and revisit that and see that they went with that instead of his.
Tanner, you know what that movie, who needed a writing credit on that movie? The Max Landis version? Me, because he took my ideas.
Shannon. So that's what I was going to bring up. I remember reading that for the first time after he posted it and thinking, this sounds fucking familiar. And it just reminded me of like one day sitting in Gaming Grounds and Shannon laying out this entire film story.
Yeah.
Screenplay idea that he had, and it was almost identical.
To be fair,
I've never heard this. What was so similar? Because I mean, there were, to be fair, a lot of the stuff that he put in there was stuff that people were hoping for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it was basic stuff. I think the big thing was Harold Ramis. Like, it was, how do you deal with Egon Spengler? And to be fair, I'm glad no one touched that until Afterlife, because I think Afterlife handled it as best as anyone ever could.
Perfect.
Yeah, that was 5 stars. Asa, have you seen Afterlife?
No, not yet.
Well, then I will stop talking about Egon Spengler.
Yep.
You go right ahead. It's not going to... This isn't going to... This isn't one that's on my imminent going-to-watch list.
Are you a big Ghostbusters fan?
I like Ghostbusters a lot. Just, I like the... It's. I grew up watching it. We've talked about this before. I like Ghostbusters 2 more than Ghostbusters 1, and it's strictly because Ghostbusters 2 is the one that always played on Comedy Central.
Right, yeah.
So, like, that's how I have seen, that's my relationship to Ghostbusters is, it is something that I would watch when it came on, because it seemed like Comedy Central played them both once a month.
Yes,
that is true.
Yeah,
that so is actually true. So, I would watch them then, but I don't have that, like, we make the Cody... hasn't seen Ghostbusters jokes,
yeah,
but it's like
do.
it's the same thing with like Dalton is afraid of playing scary games. It's like, yeah, all of that attention go to that person because I'm an even bigger version of that. But it's cool that that's getting deflected onto others, and I just kind of stand by and let it happen.
Cody too. Now that I think about it,
right?
He also doesn't like scary shit.
No, he can't handle it at all. Speaking of Tanner, were you gonna say something? Because I forget my thing.
Well, I was going to say, I'm sure a lot of Podzilla fans are going to remember the time we live streamed with Asa on his Twitch stream playing Phasmophobia.
That was a good time.
It's crazy that never happened again.
The longest stream I've ever watched of Asa's, and I think this was the night that we signed up as like Prime, whatever the thing is, like we followed you or whatever, was when we were playing Resident Evil 7. And I remember I was running that, right? It was the night that they dropped the demo for the Resident Evil 3 remake. So I'm playing the remake for 3 and like kind of watching out of the corner of my eye, and I had to stop. I was like, no, I have to watch this.
I was not having a good time.
You were straight up not having a good time, bro.
Did you see that they announced the Resident Evil 4 is coming out?
Yeah, we only very briefly talked about that here. I'm going to let Shannon finish his thing, and then I'll jump back in that, because I have things to say.
Mine is a quick thing, but just talking about scary movies and stuff that never got made, there was an idea for a movie that was floated around years ago, like 10-plus years ago, that Bob and I were super excited about, and it was about a space station that, I don't remember the exacts of it, but basically there was a werewolf on the space station. And this just sounded like it was futuristic, and it was set in like a, you know, like a kind of like how Alien does their space stations, if you ever played Alien Isolation. And there was a werewolf, and it was just set, it sounded so cool, and then it never came out. I don't know what happened to it. I guess it just it was in limbo for a while, developmental hell, and then nothing.
They
happened
ran out
to
of
it.
Cocaine.
It reminds me of the tweet that went around for a long time, where someone was like, you know, if werewolves ever got into space, you'd never change them back, because they'd always be by the moon. And it was the thing with the guy coming back in the NASA rocket, loading up the gun, moon's haunted. What'd you say? I said moon's haunted. He's just going back up.
I keep meaning to tell you this, Shane, and I can't. It's been several weeks at this point, but I think I was at like Target looking at action figures, and from like an aisle over, I heard someone say, "Oh, look." Or no, it was because it was over by the NECA stuff, because I don't know if you've seen all the NECA like horror movie figures that they've started doing, but they have a ton of Alien ones, they have a ton of Predator ones, stuff like that. But they were like, oh, look, man, that's Predator, you know, from Alien versus Predator. And it was just like, that's...
No.
I immediately was just like, what?
No.
How is that the frame... You know, Terminator, from Terminator versus RoboCop? Like,
right.
That's the franchise it's from. And it kind of broke me a little. And again, I almost, like, wanted to just call you and be like, I need you to understand.
You would have just heard...
This thing that I just heard.
It would have been the Simpsons thing where you just hear... And then a car door shutting and driving, and then I run into the store and grab them. Speaking of Predator...
I don't think he's coming back.
Speaking of Predator, Hunter, before you start talking about the Resident Evils, did you know there's a Predator movie coming out this year? A new one?
Yeah, isn't it called Prey? Or is that a totally different thing?
No, that's it. It's called Prey, and it's set in, what time period? Because it's definitely like, it's like the
Jurassic period, isn't it?
I think it's like Native American.
It's not dinosaurs, but is it? I only know it's being made, but I know it's like pre-technology. It's not modern.
It's prequel style.
Yeah, so it's the origin story of the Predator, that's not, in the world of the Comanche Nation 300 years ago. So 300 years ago. I'm excited for it because that last Predator movie they came out with was hot garbage. It was bad. It was bad on so many levels. You got a cast like Keegan-Michael Key. And the point of the movie was that all of the people had like... They had mental disorders or various disorders. And that was the heroes of the movie. So you had Thomas Jane who did... he had Tourette's. And his Tourette's equaled him, like, cussing and saying really offensive things. It was, like, it was just so bad. They wasted such a good cast in that movie.
This was not the one with Topher Grace,
no,
right?
That is the legitimately...
That's the one with Adrian Brody.
Yes.
Yeah.
That one's pretty good. Okay. That one's actually pretty good. Right. I like that one. This one was called Predators, and it was bad.
That was the one I thought was...
You're going to be very disappointed in me.
No,
I have.
Oh God!
No. I have seen the first film, and I've seen that one I was just talking about, and that's it. I've never seen any other Predator.
Predator 2 is all right. So Alien versus Predator, the first
one. That's the one with Danny Glover, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Alien versus Predator is actually pretty good. A lot of people shit on it, but even James Cameron.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, even James Cameron was like, "No, that was actually pretty good."
I might have seen that, but if I did, I don't remember it. I don't remember a thing about it.
Requiem was kind of trashy, except for a couple spots. But Predator 2, legit, is an unsung hero. It's such a good sequel that no one watched.
Alien. I've seen Alien, Aliens, and Prometheus.
Yeah.
I guess. Never saw 3, never saw any of the other...
So. To me, 3 is a lot like Predator 2. It's an unsung hero. It's one that everyone overlooks. They always say, well, it's not good because they went back to the first one where there's one alien. Everybody wanted the big action blockbuster like Aliens, and they took it back to the original. I thought 3 was really good. Alien Resurrection is garbage.
To be completely honest with you, if I'm watching an alien franchise, I want it to be just the single monster stalking the prey. That is a true horror film for me.
But Aliens is so good, though.
But that's why I don't want it again, because Aliens got it.
Yeah,
right.
That is.
They don't have to do it again. Yeah.
There was one summer where I was catching up on a lot of stuff, because Sarah and I both had these little gaps in our movie history of things that one had seen but the other hadn't. And we filled that stuff out, and then it was like, okay, what have we both not seen? And so we were going through a lot of Alien and Predator movies. I think that was stuff I had seen she hadn't, because I remember it was that same summer that we got around to the Godfather franchise, and I remember thinking, man, as much shit as I talk about movies and how much I fucking think I know about stuff, I had never seen Godfather 1, 2, or 3 until like 5 years ago, probably. And so we sat down and watched the first two, and I remember talking about it somewhere. And an unsung hero of this show, Matt Sism, pops in into the conversation, and he goes, "Do not watch 3. And I said, "What?" And he goes, "Godfather 3. Don't even," he goes, "you have a rare opportunity to appreciate 1 and 2 and know not a fucking thing about 3. And I'm like, "Well, the only thing I know, it was directed by Sofia Coppola and people don't like it." And he's like, "That's all you need to know. You don't need to tarnish your legacy of these films and your knowledge of them with that. Just don't watch it." And I didn't. To his credit, I took his advice. I trust Matt with a lot of things, especially these days. And I was like, "Yep, okay, fair enough."
You're missing the best one, man. You really ought to check it out. It's great. People give it a hard time. People get it a hard time, but you know, I think it's well worth a watch.
Okay, but I do want to point out that they released an alternate version of it called The Godfather Coda that is supposed to be legitimately much, much better. It's Godfather 3, but recut. And it's supposed to be
Snyder Cut came out?
Fuck. There's so much slow motion. Everything slows down. Dude takes a drink from his glass and it just goes into black and white slow-mo. It's great.
I would have to go back and watch 1 and 2 again just to do that. Because, I mean, again, you know, people talk about how great they are, and they were. I remember watching them and really enjoying them, but having seen them one time, I don't exactly remember, you know, all the little... I remember the stuff everybody remembers, you know. I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart and leave the gun, take the cannoli, but, like, beyond that, I would really need a refresher on who all these people are and what they can do.
Gangster films never spoke to me. A lot of my friends were into, like, the gangster films. Tanner, you remember Jeff. Jeff was big into the gangster films. Everybody wanted that lifestyle. That was never my thing.
We watched Scarface around that time, too. I did not get it. I did not get why everybody thought Scarface was so great.
Or why everybody wanted to be Scarface. I remember everybody saying, "I want to be like Tony, you know, what is his name? Montana?"
Because they seem...
It's the same thing as they want to be Heisenberg from Breaking Bad. They don't want to watch be the Joker. They want to be Rick from Rick and Morty.
They want to live like Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, you're hero worshiping the wrong person. Romeo and Juliet, by the way, is a trash play for trash people.
But I like the movie with Leonardo DiCaprio.
The movie was good, yeah, for the
style. That particular movie, yeah.
But yeah, it's 2 14-year-olds in love and they're both stupid.
Like, yeah. Can we talk about that movie for a second, though? John Leguizamo
was perfect as Tybalt, the Prince of Cats.
John Leguizamo was great in everything. It has nothing to do with the movie.
That's fucking John right.
Leguizamo is objectively perfect.
John Leguizamo is, and we can throw this term around a lot of tonight, unsung hero of the acting world.
You talk about a dude with a weird filmography.
Yes.
And yet there's not one I can think of where I thought, boy, that was a poor choice.
Mario Brothers.
Like, Mario, no.
I love Mario Brothers.
The best thing about Mario.
He was the saving grace of that movie. I don't give a shit what anybody says.
Oh, no.
He's in, what was the one I was thinking of recently? Chef, Spawn. Which is a great film.
Fucking Chef is amazing, and he is awesome.
Wong Fu, he's in that.
That's a good movie. John Wick.
Weird shit.
He was also in John Wick.
Spawn, I think you just said a minute ago. I was trying to remember what you said.
He was Clown / Violator, and he was fucking great as them. Yeah.
So weird.
John Leguizamo also, was an awesome actor.
I know we're not supposed to talk about him, but he was Bruno.
Holy shit, was he
okay,
really?
It took me for a second. I thought you were talking about Bruno, the Sacha Baron Cohen character. I was like, no, he's not, you fucking liar. That's Sacha Baron Cohen. Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Never mind.
Losing my voice. My voice is going out. I'm starting to sound... Jesus Christ. You talk. I'm going to stop talking.
Asa, Bruno was a character from Encanto.
Oh, okay.
That's why I said we weren't supposed to talk about him.
Like, I know, you fucking idiot, or he'd be like, okay, thank you. And either one was going to work.
Tanner's dropping the same reference like I'm going to get it. No, if I hear it clearer, Tanner, I'll know what the fuck you're talking about.
Tanner, say it louder.
Let me say it louder.
Yeah, say it louder.
Yeah.
Jackal. Is it a jackal?
It's when I was in college, and it was right when, like, the hard sodas and not your daddy's root beer came out. And it'd be like, oh, man, you got to try this. It tastes just like root beer. Oh, I don't like root beer. No, but you'll like it. It tastes just like root beer. Okay, yeah, but no, I don't like root beer. I don't like the taste of root beer.
Part of this aren't you getting?
No, you don't get it. You will not taste the alcohol. You're not going to taste it. It tastes just like root beer. I'm like... I have a beer in my hand. It's not the alcohol I'm worried about. I don't like this flavor. What is wrong?
If anything, you want it to be the other way. I would rather taste the alcohol.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong.
All right, now we can talk about Resident Evil. The new movie. Oh, it was terrible.
It was very bad is what I've been told.
Hey, so did you get to watch it finally?
Resident Evil?
Am I the only one that watched it?
Yeah. No.
Okay.
You said that like it was something I was really looking forward to that kept being taken from me.
Well, no, I know Hunter had talked about watching it, but I thought you had too, and I think I was just wrong. It was bad.
Here's the true story of that. I don't think I said it on the show, but so it came and went in theaters. We didn't go see it. And then we had seen enough in theaters between, I guess it was Ghostbusters and Spider-Man and a couple other things toward the end of the year, that Fandango was like, hey, you got some credit. You got a $5 credit. Well, it was right at the tail end of going to see stuff. And I'm like, this thing expires in a month. I'm not going to buy any more tickets, but you can use it for their video on demand, like their streaming thing. Because they bought out, which one did Fandango buy? Voodoo.
Voodoo, yeah.
Yeah. So popped on there, see what's available. Resident Evil was a $5 rental. And I was like, oh, perfect. You know, we'll drop this on this and don't pay a dime. If it sucks, we don't lose anything. And I don't know how I fucked it up, but I ended up redeeming it for No Time to Die instead, which was like 10 bucks or something. I'm like, great, now I've spent $5 and I don't even know if this is going to be good. No Time to Die was a perfectly cromulent movie. So in the end, it was fine. I wasn't upset about having spent five actual dollars on it. And then you told me how much Resident Evil sucked and I went,
I was
dodged that bullet.
Oh, I was so disappointed. Like everything they could have gotten wrong with that movie, they did. No. The guy that played Leon Kennedy looked nothing like him. However, did a fantastic job. Even though it wasn't Leon Kennedy, he shouldn't have been named Leon Kennedy. He didn't look like him or act like him. Everything else in the movie was just terrible. The graphics were bad. The storyline was bad. They tried to merge one and two together in a bad way. And I thought to myself, oh my god. The original Resident Evil is better. The original film, the Paul W.S. Anderson film, is better than this in every way. It's like Mortal Kombat. Watching the new Mortal Kombat, you go, oh my god, it's Paul W.S. Anderson again. The Paul W.S. Anderson version is better. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Fucking Paul W.S. Anderson. And now we're
going to bring it to Netflix again. The Resident Evil like franchise as a whole, I don't want to say got weird, because it was already weird. There was nowhere to go there. But the... everything outside the games has been such a strange little, like, I don't understand what anybody's doing. You know, they made the movie, and the movie was fine, and then they made the second movie, and it was a little more like the games, but it was also not as good a movie, and then that just went, like, completely downhill. At the same time, they were making all these little animated, like, movies and things, CGI, and they were awful. They were terrible.
Including a new show on Netflix. There's a show on Netflix,
The new show, also bad.
I fell asleep.
No, like, isn't there another one? Like, aren't they?
Yeah, there's another one.
Well,
preemptively, I'm saying it's probably bad.
Yes, but I believe in this one, they've already won me over, because you know who plays Albert Wesker in this one?
Oh, it's he's black and I can't think of his name.
The guy from The Wire. I am also forgetting his name now. Shit.
Yeah, I like that they changed it up, because he'll be a very good. He's very imposing, and I know people were like shitting themselves. Oh, he's black. Like, okay, it's a fucking character. Like, get over it.
Well, plus
I'm aware that Wesker's like an Aryan, like perfect, you know, Aryan.
Aryan.
I don't know where that came from. Tanner will appreciate this. Anarchy. Anarchy.
It doesn't Lenny James.
But it's like, who gives a shit? No, I don't think so. What is his name? Damn it.
That's the only black guy from Walking Dead that I know.
No, Resident Evil.
No, I thought he said Walking Dead. Shannon did earlier.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said he was the black guy from Walking Dead.
I also never heard Walking Dead. Right.
Glad we got all this going together.
What's really sad is I'm looking up Jonah Hex, because that's the only movie off the top of my head I know he was in, and I can't find it.
It's Lance Reddick.
Okay.
It took me 1 second to Google it. I was just like, they're tripping over
The longer I thought about it, the more I kept thinking, he's in something funny we like, and then the fucking Jordy LaForge with the chains came to mind. I was like, there it is. It's the Eric Andre.
Well, because the first person that popped into my head, I kept wanting to say, instead of Lance Reddick, was Colin Salmon. Or Salmon, I don't know how to pronounce it. But he was in the first Resident Evil movie, is what I was trying to think of. He also would have been a fantastic James Bond, but that's another thing for a different time.
See, I kept thinking of not Idris Elba, but the guy who, what's his name? He does the Allstate ads.
Oh, Dennis Haysbert.
Who does those. Dennis Haysbert, thank you. I kept thinking of him, and I'm like, it's absolutely not Dennis Haysbert.
I love that I could think of Dennis Haysbert, even though the only thing I know him from is the fucking ads, but I couldn't think of Lance Reddick, an actor that I absolutely love from
Dennis
many
Haysbert
things.
Did a a great guest spot on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. While. Yeah, he was fun on that.
Wasn't he also in 24?
The only thing I think I've seen him act in, because also like my point of reference for him is the Allstate commercials.
He was the president in 24, wasn't he?
Yes.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
Probably. I don't know. I never watched 24 either.
Yeah. I haven't seen 24 seconds of that show. know who I hate? You know why I hate Lance Reddick? Is because of Horizon. Dude is a dick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The silence.
He's in that?
Fuck that dude. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, he is.
That's awesome.
I still haven't played the second one. I've got it. It's on my shelf. I'm trying to finish Miles Morales before I get into it.
Oh, also about Resident Evil, just really quick, is they're actually following the plots of the games. They're following the games themselves, from what I understand. So Albert Wesker is dead at this point. So but who is this Albert Wesker?
Here's the thing, okay? The Resident Evil games got real stupid real quick.
Yes.
Yeah, you guys were talking about like, oh, the movies are crazy. They're doing all this weird stuff, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that you're talking about a video game series that has like incestuous twins that one died, but then one was from 800 years ago, and to go to the bathroom at any fucking building in this universe, you have to put together. You have to break apart two grandfather clocks and put the pendulums together.
One of my favorite things about the remakes for 2 and 3 is how they handled that, because they didn't get rid of it. They didn't take them out. There's always like an in-universe explanation. In the original games, they didn't do shit. Like, you get a club key and you go, that's normal. That's a thing that you have. And I may not have all this right, but I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. The main one was that the different types of keys in the police station, too, like the club, the heart key, the suits of cards, it was... Somehow or another, they explained it because the police station actually used to be a museum, which kind of makes sense because the building is very opulent and ridiculous for that. And they're like, oh, the guy who designed it had, you know, he was very eccentric and he locked him away that way. It's so stupid, but I loved it. And I love the fact that they gave it an explanation.
And they just said, fuck it, we're going to keep it out of his memory. Yep. We're not going to replace these.
Even though it makes things a lot harder when we forget a key.
Very difficult, yes. But no, so yeah, the story got really stupid. And here comes the hot take for the like super Resident Evil people. Resident Evil 4 is real stupid. Does it play well? Yes. Is it a lot of fun? Absolutely. Does the story make any sense? No.
There's two games. There's only two Resident Evil games that I ever cared about, and that's Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 2. That's it.
Three is not that big a deal either, because it's in the grand tradition of the first two, and it takes place kind of during them, so it's fine. But anything after that, anything as soon as you get out of Raccoon City, shit goes downhill. Right. It gets real bad real fast.
So I've never been a fan of this series, period, game-wise or anything. Which
blows my mind, by the way. Just, it's another, like, doesn't like Predator thing for me with Tanner. I don't understand.
I don't like the first Predator.
You could have just left that at Predator.
But we're
anyway, I sat and watched Brandy play Village, and that game looked fun as fuck.
Here's my hot take on Village. It is not.
Here's my hot take on Village. The internet wouldn't like it near as much if they didn't want to fuck the big lady.
Yes.
It's also fair, yeah.
That's the, like, that, it's, because I haven't played it, but I've heard, like, it's basically, so Resident Evil, the pattern goes tank control to her survival horror for the first three.
Yes.
They completely, they from the ground up, redo the control scheme and the combat for four.
Yep.
People love it. They lose their shit about it. It's, I can't say that it holds up today because of the whole you can't move while you aim. Like, that's a big deal breaker for me. But I'm, you know, you have to assume they're going to do away with that in the new one.
Play the VR version.
They did for the remake.
Fucking never, for so many reasons. five and six, everyone hated. Like, I have not heard anyone say anything positive about 5 and 6 either.
Five is getting the Star Wars prequel treatment now. It's getting the rose-colored glasses. Oh, 5 was actually good. Well, that's because 6 sucked. Five. And 7 and 8 are kind of their own thing.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, I remember when I liked the other ones better.
Seven everyone loves because it reminded them of P.T., and they're just desperate to play PT.
Yep.
And then 8 was kind of building off of that. The old, like, but even the, like, they're like, you know, 7 was good if you just like play it on mute because we hate the dude you play as.
Yes.
Yes.
And then they still hate the dude that you play as in Village.
Because they brought him back.
Not get better. Eight is such a weird thing because Seven's, again, big claim to fame was it was very moody. It was very
jump scare,
very gross. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the scariest Resident Evil since probably the first one. And then in 8, they went, oh, you like that? Well, we're going to give you all the goofy shit about 4 and 5 that you liked, but in first person. And it's like, yeah, man, I could play Serious Sam any day of the week. Like,
yeah,
you're not that.
But that big vampire lady, she stomps on you. And
yeah,
she's going to stomp on you in VR pretty soon.
Because the VR, the Sony State of Play they did where they talked about like VR stuff. I think it was either that one or it was the...
It was Summer State of Play.
Fest, I don't remember. But they did the stuff for Village in VR, and literally the first shot is you looking up
at her. Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, we get it. Step on me, mommy.
And
like,
she's barely in the game. They made such a big deal out of her. She's barely in the game.
But people thought she was the main antagonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, but 8 is apparently, Tanner, I'm going to get to you in just 1 second, but I want to mention that 8 also has probably, even though it's not the scariest game, it probably has the scariest section of any Resident Evil game in history.
Oh.
Yeah, with the baby and shit. Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. That is traumatizing. Tanner, what do you got?
Well, I was just going to, I said earlier, Resident Evil is not my thing. I've never played any of the games. I've never even watched Brandy play. The only one I've literally watched was Village, and it looked interesting enough to me. I was like, you know, maybe I'll give that a try sometime. I never did, but it was the only one that ever sparked my interest. Now,
and you might like that one because it might be for you. Like, I've heard it's like it's fun to play. It's just the story was kind of a miss, and like especially where 7 kind of, I guess the story was losing people, but it. Don't go in expecting a horror game. It's a shooter with horror elements.
7 worked because it was simple.
I will preface this about 8 with the fact that we were playing Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War for like 8 months up to the release it was pretty close up to the release of Resident Evil 8, or like 3 or 4. But by the time that I got around to it, it was like 5 or 6 at least. So I'd been playing almost nothing but Black Ops. I tried to go in and play Village, and I sat down and tried to play it one day. I played for like 4 or 5 hours straight. And at least halfway through that, I remember thinking, this is the most boring fucking thing I have ever... I'm so bored. I'm so bored. I'm so tired. This character doesn't move well. I don't know what they expect me to do half the time. None of this makes any sense. The characters are annoying. I couldn't get into it, man. And I don't know. Maybe if I'd muscled through it. But like, I'm very much of the proponent that if the game is ultimately going to be like 20 or 30 hours long, if a sixth of that into it, I'm not interested, what the fuck am I doing?
Here's where I get kicked off of the podcast. You describing going from like super fast paced action shooter to more of a slower horror thing, but like it's the same genre. It described exactly my feelings going from Horizon Forbidden West into Elden Ring. This is slow. Yeah, this is boring. This is a slog. The controls don't feel good. I don't understand what's going on. I have no idea where to go. Like, why is the character I'm playing as not vocalizing exactly what I need to do every 6 seconds? How come I can hear my own thoughts and not her just, oh, I wonder what that ledge is. Oh, there's a ledge I can climb. Can I go? Oh, I wonder what that interactable object that I've interacted with 800 times. I wonder if I can move that.
Playing Elden Ring with all of you guys, like when everybody got it, I think Tanner, you're like the only one that didn't get it, aren't you? All of us being in the same and playing, as someone that's played like all the Dark Souls, all those games, I knew exactly what I was going into, and I had no problem with any of it.
I don't give a shit about Dark Souls.
Hearing everybody else complain about the things that like we knew about and complained about years ago, I thought to myself, I was like, oh, come on, guys. But then I thought, should I have warned them more? Like, should I have said, hey, guys, hold on, before you buy this, we really need to talk. Because here's what you can expect.
No, you need to remember, though, I'm also, like, of everyone else that you played with, I'm the one who's played the most of those games as well.
So, Bob.
Yeah. But, like, I 100% understood, and that's exactly why I didn't jump in with you guys, was because I knew I needed to finish Horizon, because I would not go back to Horizon if I started it.
Yeah. I was brand new to those kind of games, grabbing Elden Ring, and I went back and forth on early on. I remember there was at least once or twice that I thought, I can't fucking do this anymore. I'm so tired of kind of doing the same thing or just getting wrecked constantly. I've got to go do something else. And ultimately, like, what helped was I did. That was around the time that Tunic came out. Don't get me wrong, Tunic's not an easy game either, but it was different, and it was kind of like lighter and it was brighter. And at least I was starting back at the beginning so I could figure it out. Bounce back in and out of like Forza Horizon, where there are practically no stakes. You just drive around and have fun. And eventually, I mean, I still have not gone back and finished it, but I muscled my way all the way to the end, to the point that, like, early on I had people summoning in to help me with bosses. Horaloo, or whatever his fucking name is, the big grapple guy, one-shotted him on my own, and I was real fucking proud of that. Only boss that I managed to take down on the first go-around by myself. So I'm right in front of the Elden Beast, or whoever comes before him. I can't remember.
It's the same dude. Name.
Yeah,
it's literally the same guy. I forget his
name. Starts with a G, R, or an M. I can't remember which one.
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. George.
He is the
R. George to the power of nine.
I ultimately ended up really enjoying Elden Ring, but at the same time, it's not like something I'm real antsy to jump back into, which is why I haven't gone back in and finished it. I will someday, but not yet.
I would put Elden Ring in my top five games of all time, and I'm not joking. No cap. I enjoyed it.
You
were
nowhere. That is the general consensus of, like, this is one of the, it's going to go down as one of the, like, top 10 easy greatest games ever. And I get that. And I know I was, like, making it sound like I was shitting on it. I wasn't. I played of it.
Yeah.
I just never went back to it. But, like, going from Horizon, which is so much faster and, like, way more accessible. Well, and I really wasn't exaggerating that much whenever they added a feature where you could, like, turn her, hit, like, verbal hints off. And it's like, that should have been at launch, because holy shit.
I felt like I could not play Nioh. Nioh and Sekiro both, because you played a little bit of Sekiro, didn't you, Asa?
Yeah, I started it.
I couldn't get into either of those because they were too fast. I like the slower paced stuff. Like, I love how slower paced and tactical Elden Ring was versus Nioh. I want to like Nioh so bad because it's samurai, it's really pretty, but the combat is so fast and there's so many different options. I just can't do it. Like, I get confused. It's like when I started to play Madden on the newer systems after playing it on Super Nintendo. I'm trying to figure out just how to, like, juke. And it's hold three buttons and spin the dial to the left 90 degrees. And I don't understand. And I'm like, I just don't get what's going on. I don't enjoy this.
My biggest problem with Elden Ring in the end was that I don't know. I feel like part of it's got to be on me. Like, maybe I didn't read enough of the you know, expanded universe. But my biggest criticism will always be I never really knew what the fuck was going on. And I don't mean, like, I needed hints to figure out what ledge I could climb and that kind of stuff. I mean, like, story-wise, I know you get the very basics at the beginning, and then there's, like, 60 hours of content, and I'm like, what's happening, though? What am I doing? Who am I helping? What are the options? I don't necessarily want a quest log, but I do want an idea of, like, here are the things you can do.
Yeah,
without just having to figure it out.
When I found out there was no quest log, because when that broke, I thought to myself, oh, everyone's out. No one's going to want to play this game. No quest log. Because the other games didn't really have quests. It was literally just, here's the area you're in, get to the end of the area, fight the boss. Elden Ring was very much open world, legit. I mean, it was a huge world.
And ultimately,
go do whatever you want.
Yeah, ultimately, I didn't mind too much of that, because once you figure out, okay, there's something I started and I didn't finish, I mean, I can absolutely just go to the internet and go, hey, what didn't I do?
Right.
You know, figure out where I need to go next for me, just because at this point, I know I'm getting close to the end and I'd like to finish up any, you know, loose ends I've got. But at the same time, it's like, man, you know, this is a lot of fucking ground to cover, like, on my own. If you really expect me to just go and figure all this out on my own, that's unfortunate, because I'm going to miss a lot of your game.
It reminded me a lot of, like, the, for me, old school style RPGs, like the original Elder Scrolls games.
Yeah, where even
there wasn't a quest log necessarily. Like, yeah. It was like, oh, you could keep track of who you talk to, but it wasn't just like, and I think, Shannon, you talked about, like, old school WoW. Like, original vanilla WoW, where it was just like, oh, hey, you found a side quest. They told you where to go and who you're supposed to talk to, but that's it. There wasn't a marker on the map.
Right.
It wasn't you literally had to be like, oh, wait, I just went into this forest. Didn't someone tell me I need to come to here to look for a thing? And it's, I understand that there's a vibe for that. Like, people like that kind of challenge and that level of exploration. But the way that I play video games is I have my one screen. Typically, if I'm playing, like, at my desk, if I'm playing on my computer or my Xbox, I have my game on this screen, and then on this screen, I have a guide just already pulled up.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just will, like, and the second that I can't really, if I spend more than 5 minutes trying to figure out what to do, where to go, oop, over the guide, where do I go? Oh, I have to hit this thing. Cool. And then I just go and do it.
See,
I just don't have the patience to, like,
I love the,
and
openness.
That's part of why, that goes back to why I don't like the Resident Evil games, because they're so obtuse. Nothing makes any sense. I have no patience for it.
I think for those games, for me, the reason that clicks for me and Elden Ring was a little problematic with that was that in general, so in the Resident Evil games, it's something they did really well in the remakes of 2 and 3. Because again, the remake of 2 is now officially my favorite game in that series. It does everything I want. It's, you know, new modern gameplay, good quality of life stuff, but a nice tight story that is kind of scary. You've always got that tension with somebody chasing you or that kind of thing. The map in those games will at least show you if you've been to a room or if you haven't. And so that generally is enough for me to go, okay, I've definitely been to all these rooms. I've gone around and seen what I can do. I've got like this key. What door's not open? Okay, it's that one. So I got to go there and do that. I'm almost open for something like that when I'm playing Elden Ring. Because again, there's even like what I have now come to find out are very common things for Souls games that I don't think I could ever have figured out on my own. Hey, make sure you exhaust dialogue options. I didn't know. I had no idea that, oh, I got to talk to this guy multiple times to get him to say all the things they're going to say. He's not just going to say it in one conversation. When that conversation ends, you have to talk to them again until they start repeating themselves. That seems silly to me. That was always frustrating to me. It's like, I get that that's tradition, but at the same time, it doesn't make any sense. Why do I have to keep initiating conversation to get this person to keep talking and to say the next thing they have to, so that part of the game will then work properly? That was always bothersome to me.
It was the most open RPG I've ever played, and it felt like an adventure game where I was actually on an adventure. See, my problem with RPGs now is most RPGs, they're just like, somebody points in a direction, they circle the thing on my map and say, go exactly here and do this exact thing. And it's just, like Final Fantasy X, we called it like a hallway simulator, because you didn't actually go anywhere else. You just followed the one single path, and that was it. Also, welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Lindsay Wolfgang joining in late. Hi, Lindsay.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
We're talking about Elden Ring. Lindsay missed out on this when AC, you brought up World of Warcraft. See, the old way World of Warcraft was it would just, like you said, there was a book and they told you the general direction. And I love that, because that felt like a real thing. Hey, this guy told me this. I wrote it down in my book and now I'm going to go find what he's talking about. As opposed to now, where I open my map and there's a number literally on the exact spot I need to go. And it's like, where's the adventure in that, man? There's no fun in that. It's when they lay everything out for you, I prefer to figure things out on my own. But Elden Ring took it a little bit too far. Elden Ring was kind of like Castlevania 2. There's a part in Castlevania 2 where you have to duck down in front of a wall and like throw a specific item at it and wait for a cyclone to take you away. Who the fuck knew that? They don't say anything about that in the game. If you didn't have the internet, which no one had back then, how was anyone supposed to know that?
Also,
that's exactly the thing that got me. Was again, I'm fine with you circling a spot on the map and telling me this is where you need to go. I'll go explore on my own. Okay, I'll go there eventually, but it's like Fallout, like any of the Fallout games. I know I'm supposed to go there. I'm going to go over here and do like six other things, and then I'll go there then when I feel like it.
Yeah, but Fallout Nellis. Go ahead.
It's gone. Holy shit. It is completely gone. The World of Warcraft you're talking about. Holy shit.
Think about it real quick, and then interrupt me as I say this. Elder Scrolls and Fallout do the same thing, where it's like, hey, go talk to this person, or hey, go over here. And then there's a thing on your map that points you in the exact direction to go. And that's no fun to me. That's part of why I like doing tabletop games, because there's no exactly go do this. You do what you want.
I don't mind it so much. The caveat for me for that, I agree with you, with the caveat of if I already know this person and know where they are, then yeah, point them out to me so I don't have to go find them again. So I don't have to mentally, like, physically remember, okay, this person is in that city and I got to go do that thing. If you want me to go talk to that guy and I already talked to him, just point it out. Just give me a fast travel.
Yeah.
Because usually those are also the games that have padded their runtime. So we're not talking about a nice tight 30 hours of solid content. We're talking about over 100 hours of content, and 60 of them are fetch quests. Tanner, I'm looking at Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and I know you will not disagree with me on this one.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Odyssey was overly long. And I, like, don't get me wrong, story-wise, I still loved it. And I'm going to tell you right now.
I thought the main story was really good. And honestly, I even thought the side quests were good. But I think you and I have both agreed that was a 15-hour game in a 100-hour game's body.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. I've put 90 hours into that game. And I am nowhere. I am nowhere near 100% in that game. Yeah. Like, so, I am at tops 40%.
Tanner, this is going to break your heart. Because I loved Odyssey. I loved Assassin's Creed Odyssey. I had a ton of fun with it. I love Cassandra as a character. Like, I did truly enjoy that game. I ruined the story for me, though. Because I took, like, I want to say 4-month break in the middle of it. Because a thing, can I spoil it? Is anyone going to care if I talk about it?
No, go ahead.
At this point. So when they killed Phoebe, it made me so mad that I quit playing. And I was just like, nope, I will go back to, because it was something I talked to Trevor about all the time, because he also loved that game. And I was like, no, I'll go back to it. But they fucking killed the kid that I really adored, and I'm legit pissed. So fuck them. Yep. And then when I finally went back and finished the story, the big twist, like, reveal at the end of, like, who really the bad guy is, was a character I talked to, like, 2 months before I quit playing. And then she just never appeared again. So I was like, Cassandra's like freaking out. Everyone's freaking out. I'm just like, who the fuck is this lady? I don't know you. Why is this a big deal? And then it wasn't until your husband. It was like an hour later, and I was like, oh, it's you. Well, that would have hit better.
There's a game called Guild Wars. You guys ever heard of Guild Wars? I know Lindsay has.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
I've heard of it. Yeah, yeah.
So the first
you have made me play.
Well, the first Guild Wars game it was revolutionary for me at the time, because the beginning of the game, the tutorial, takes place in a different time than the actual game. So you play through the tutorial, and everything is peaceful and calm, and you befriend this little girl named Gwyn. And Gwyn follows you around. She's this little kid. She follows you around. You get a cape for her. She's got a flute. She plays music. It's really sweet. And then I forget what they call it, the searing or something like that happens, where the enemies, which are these beastmen called the Char, they end up destroying the city and killing everybody. And then they kill Gwyn. And you find years later, when the game takes place afterwards, you find like her tattered cape and her broken flute out in the world. And I remember thinking like, oh. But then they ruin it. But then they ruin it, because they bring her back later on as a full-grown adult. Oh, she didn't actually die. And I'm like, come on, man. There goes the emotional punch.
You had a moment.
Yeah. Anyway, fuck Assassin's Creed.
Ace, I need you to know, if you enjoyed Odyssey, you need to go play Valhalla, because
I started Valhalla, and it was a big swing and a miss. I'm like 40 hours into it, it's the same, like... I hate how they did the side quests, too, because, like... It didn't feel as natural or satisfying. And I want to like keep upgrading my town, but the town, like, you can only do certain number of raids before you're like wildly under level to do them. So then it forces you to like keep going through the story. And when they started introducing the like Valhalla stuff, or the Asgard stuff, I was just like, that's when it kind of clicked, as just like, this is not working for me.
So I was the same way until I realized why they were doing it. And then I was like, okay, this is pretty integral to the story, and I can deal with it. I still don't like playing it. Like, anytime, like the whole playing Dawn of Ragnarok and making me pay for it, Ubisoft can go to hell. I'm not paying for it. I have no urge to play as Odin. But that said, I understand why that gameplay is part of the story now.
I just want a modern-day Assassin's Creed. That's what I legitimately want. The closest thing I've gotten to that is Watch Dogs Legion.
Oh, I was going to say the British one was pretty close. He almost got there.
That's fairly close. To cycle back very quickly, because we're almost out of time. I mean, not that we're out of time, but want to wrap it up so we can play video games.
Yes.
Oh God, now it's gone for me too. Fucking Asa.
Here, I got this. I can pivot.
Pokemon.
So we're talking about fuck.
It's Pokemon.
Pokemon is open world this time.
Well, no. Just Pokemon in general. Talking about, Asa, you said you left the game, and when you came back, you didn't know what you were doing. That's every Pokemon game for me. If I start a Pokemon game, one, I don't know where to go or what to do, because I don't understand the flow of Pokemon usually. And if I leave and come back, I'm sitting in between two towns going, where the fuck do I go? What am I doing? Why am I here?
If you want your hand held, when you're talking about RPGs holding your hand, the remakes of Diamond and Pearl, when you bring up the menu screen, it'll literally tell you, like, mm-hmm. Here's where you go. You know, head to this city. And it's like, oh, shit, all right, cool.
Sun and Moon, you literally just talk to Rotom and it would tell you, hey, go here. But the new one is open world. You don't have a specific order you have to go in. You pick where you want to go. You take the gems in the order you want to do. Yes.
Yeah. See, I'm so curious if they're open world level based on how, you know, difficult you are.
That's what I'm assuming is going to happen, yeah.
I'm so curious how they pull that off. Like, are they doing the thing that they kind of established in the cartoon and that's been my headcanon the entire time? Of just, like, each gym leader has just a whole range of teams that they pick from. So it's like, oh, you already have 7 badges. All right,
so
I'm pulling out my top tier.
So this is what we're doing.
Like, oh, I'm the first gym you're challenging. Okay, well, here's my level 5 dude that you're just going to stomp. Good job, buddy. Like, is it going to be that? Or is it going to be, no, well, yeah, so you can take the gyms on in any order. Here's your level 5 starter. Go to this gym if you want to face a level 8. Or, yeah, go ahead, wander off to Fucknut Town and face Blair, who has a level 80 Mega Charizard.
Fuck Mike, that town. Kinda,
like,
pretty crazy.
And it's like, well, yeah, no, you can challenge them, but there's a very specific order you're supposed to. I wonder if that's how it's going to be.
I don't know. They've released so little about it so far.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be more the former, because that to me reads more like a Mega Man kind of game. Like, you can do it in whatever order you want. There's probably a right order. Like, if you go take this guy first, it'll be a little easier getting to this place, or you can go this way and it'll be a little more difficult. Also, based on your starter, like, you know, your fire starter is going to be really good against this grass type gym or whatever.
I'm sure there'll be a canonical order.
Well, why can't they just level scale?
That's what I'm assuming is the route they would take with it.
Like, that makes the most sense to me. Yeah. Like, just level scale it. So that way, Elder Scrolls Online did. Go wherever you want. Do whatever you want. You can take it in any order. I also have a problem with one of the biggest problems I always have with Pokemon is the fact that the gyms are themed. Because if I'm a Pokemon trainer, and these gym leaders, who are the best of the best, and they got a team of all fire, okay, here's my team of all water. What is it? I just socked your ass.
Actual balance team.
How have you ever won a match?
Nowadays, here's the issue with that. Nowadays, there are so many Pokemon that are cross typed.
Good. They should
have moves that don't match that at all.
Yeah. Good. At least there's some challenge.
And really, I mean, that's the scaling. I mean, that to be fair, that's always been the case, even all the way back to the originals. Yeah, even the Elite Four were all typed to, like, Ice and Ghost and Dragon and stuff. But, you know, you had a Gengar in there that could throw a Thunderbolt. You didn't see that coming because it's an electric type move. So,
is it Heart Gold and Soul Silver that has the end game where you challenge like a bunch of the gym leaders again, but they have souped up Pokemon and they
most
like,
of them do that now.
And so it's like, oh yeah, Brock has a, you know, yeah, he's sending out a Graveler and he's got an Onix, but for whatever reason, both of those have Thunderbolt because they know you're coming in with water. Right. So they do, like, so they kind of explore. I've always headcanoned it away of it's just, like, the gyms aren't meant to be, like, you were so good at training and raising Pokemon that we're going to give you a gym. And they just happen to love rock type. It's meant to teach adventuring children, essentially, like, hey, I know what ground can do. I know what rock can do. So that's what my focus is. And now you have to overcome that. And that's why the Elite Four is the same thing. That's why it's always, like, a nightmare having to, like, build a team of 6 to take on really 5 people that have
Asa, Pokemon's meant for kids, sure, Asa, right? It's a kids game.
In a lot of the games, the champion does have a. I mean, even going back to the first game, when you have to face your rival, they have a mixed.
They have a more balanced team.
Yeah, they have a more balanced one across the board. So, yeah, the gym. I guess I never really verbalized it, but what Ace was saying kind of makes sense to me, and what I probably kind of came is like, yeah, the gyms are themed that way because that's just how a gym works. You know, if the challenge is to make a really good team, that's all basically one type.
Yeah, but then they always lose.
Lindsay, have you seen...
Always. They always lose to you.
That's true.
What's happening when you're not there? How many trainers have they put in?
Oh, yeah,
because
you are a prodigy. You are always a prodigy.
Well, except for your rival, because he's always one gym ahead of you going like, yeah, I stomped him. And then he leaves.
In Red and Blue only, and don't forget in fucking Sword and Shield, that little hot motherfucker.
Oh, he can't do
just,
anything.
You
he
know,
sucks.
Tight useful. Matchups. You useful. Use a super effective. Like, yeah, dude, I did it 6 weeks ago when I fought you the 12th time. Oh my god,
you won't beat me this time. I will.
Can we talk about how your rival now picks the starter Pokemon that's weak against you, and that just pisses me off.
Because it used to be they picked the stronger one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. I picked Charmander.
Rival. His name is Assbutt, right? Because that's what I named him in every game I've played.
Oh, I'm sorry. He was always an asshat at mine.
Always Dalton for me. Anyway.
Yeah, same. I literally have an emulator on my phone.
Assbutt.
I have an emulator on my phone right now for Fire Red, and it's the rival's name is Dalton. Lindsay, do you keep up with any of the like challenge runs that people do? For Pokemon?
Like where they have to do it. Like last one I Love watched, they I think they were playing Fire Red with only a Vulpix.
I found a guy on Twitch who created something called the Kaizo Ironmon, and it is fucking brutal. It's from Fire Red, so it's the full three gens worth of or first three generations of Pokemon. Everything is randomized.
Oh, those are so much fun. I want to do one of those so badly.
So it's you pick your so the starting Pokemon are randomized, its nature is randomized, its ability is randomized, its moves are randomized. All the items you find completely randomized. You also start at a level disadvantage. So your Pokemon is level 5, the rival's Pokemon is level 8.
Okay.
And then it scales like from there. So every trainer you fight has additional Pokemon and they are higher level by a certain percentage. You cannot battle wild Pokemon. You can only get experience from trainer fights. You can only heal in battle. You can't use healing items.
Wow.
You can't buy healing items. You can't use healing moves. Once you enter a dungeon, you cannot leave it until you've like either gone out the other side or done the objective there. So like if you go into the SSN, you can't. If once you enter SSN and like you get your shit kicked in by the first trainer, you Not still got to go all the way through and beat your rival before you can leave. Otherwise, you lose the run. And it is fascinating.
Why would anyone want to do that to themselves?
Because this dude that I watched,
it's
like
a
at
challenge.
At one point, he was back to the lab again because he lost the rival fight like 29 times in a row.
Boy.
Just because you when you pick your starter, you don't get to look at all of them. You pick, okay, I'm going right. And then you can look at what the left and middle are. But no matter what they are, you have to use right.
You have to go right.
He also gets super in the weeds with it because there's a maximum BST you can hit, which I didn't even know what that meant.
I have no idea what that is.
It's like whatever your maximum values for your stats are has to add up to like less than 450. So like that excludes all legendaries, that number's too high. So you can't use those. And stuff like that. So, but it's super interesting. You also like one of the rules is, you have to say bye to mom. You have to nickname whatever Pokemon you catch, just like stuff like that. But it's very interesting to watch because it's like, the middle game where you're kind of overleveled is very stressful, but like the number of times he's either made it to the Elite Four or he'll watch other people that are there. And it's just like, it is stressful. Because again, the moves that you learn are all randomized. You can't use TMs.
Oh, that's even worse.
Unless it's a TM that you get from the gym leader when you beat them.
Well, like, at least they don't do. I've been watching the ones where they randomly evolve into something every time they level up. Like it'll just be something completely different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should do that, but with a hacked ROM where they transform into a different Pokemon completely. So
that's what it does.
Oh, it really is. So you can have like a Pikachu, and when it evolves into a Vulpix.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then when it levels again, every level it changes to a different Pokemon.
Oh, every level, not just evolution. Yes. Every level. Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, every time it levels up, it evolves into a different Pokemon, and it can be a Weedle 1 minute, and next you have a Ho-Oh, and then you're back to, like, a Dunsparce.
It's part of the country that we're in. You guys keep saying evolution like this. I'm expecting a SWAT team to bust into my house at any second now. It's not real!
What you learning?
It's not real!
All right, we're gonna get out of here so we can play some video games. Oh. But before we do, I do want to mention one last thing.
10:20, I'm going to bed.
Something was announced today that I'm very excited about, and I'm sure you guys have heard it, but I'm putting it in the chat before I say it out loud. Very excited about this. They announced the new Castlevania series coming to Netflix.
Yeah. And I almost sent that to you that I thought, nah, he knows.
It is called.
There's no way he doesn't know.
They told him first.
They messaged me. Castlevania Nocturne is set during the, I think, what, French Revolution, if I remember correctly? Yeah, French Revolution in the late 1800s, France, and it's about Richter Belmont, which is my favorite Belmont. The trailer, the teaser trailer is in there. It's pretty, pretty good. I'm so excited for this because this is my favorite Castlevania, so I am pumped. Not only that, Hunter, but they announced a new Ghostbusters show and a new film, which we'll talk about next time.
And another new film. They're doing an animated series and an animated film and a live-action film and probably a comic book. Oh, they are doing a comic book. That was going to be a bit. And then I'm like, nope, they're doing a Dark Horse comic book. So, yeah. They're probably doing some NFTs maybe. So much. I don't know.
Oh, stop it.
Stop it. Real quick. So is this the same team that did like the original Castlevania anime?
Yeah.
Or is this like a totally separate thing?
No. This is it's a spinoff of that. And I believe it's the same team behind it. So it's going to look very similar and be very similar, which was good because the original Castlevania anime was very well done. I still need to finish it. I know that sounds terrible, but I still need to finish it. Part of the last season, I'm so busy. I still need to finish The Witcher. Yeah. Someone pointed out, they're like, hey, cool. Thanks, Konami. Just could you keep all the weird sex out of this one though? Because there is a part in the last Castlevania series where the last episode of, I think, season 2...
It literally just goes back and forth between like three different sex scenes.
Yeah. One...
Yeah, the A-plot, B-plot, C-plot.
One between, was it Trevor? Yeah, Trevor Belmont and Sypha, or Sypha. One between, what is his name? Hector and the female vampire, the bad guy. And the weirdest one... Alucard and a brother and sister who he's been teaching how to fight vampires. They just randomly go into his room and have sex with him, then try to kill him while they're having sex with him. It's weird.
Oh, you forgot the fourth one.
What's the fourth one?
The reflection of you jacking it, watching it from the screen.
You think it would take me that long?
And then when the episode ends
long,
and it goes black and you just go, aw.
And then you see the shame.
Yeah.
No, I keep rewinding it. It's on. I have it clipped.
10 seconds back, 10 seconds back, 10 seconds back.
Like it would take me that many times. Okay, so we're gonna cut it off there. Oh, that's a bad pun. We'll be back next week with an all new series of movies and TV shows that we've been writing.
Yes, that's what we do.
Why'd you just start looking off onto the side? Like, was someone coming to help you?
I was hoping someone was bailing me out of this bit.
Do you have your own ghost in your head, producer?
Tuesday, I'm not going to comment on No Turning Back. I have no idea if that's happening, but probably soon and that? Sometime. And Shannon will have things to say.
Well, for fuck's sake, man, between how busy I am and like they got this January 6th thing going on, and there's just no news.
Why'd you say like you were going to go $5? Get out of here.
January 6th, get out of here.
Next Tuesday, an all-new episode of PZ85 plays. Our Fallout adventure with a bang or a whimper continues into episode 3.
Well-received.
Yes, well-received episode 2. Stephen Bright joined us for the first time in a long time on the shows at all as a brand-new character. So go back and check that out and get caught up, because episode 3 next week introduces yet another all-new character, one that the cast does not know about.
You know, Hunter, I was just thinking about this. Holy shit, this week alone in our shows has been, we should have called this Nostalgia Week with the cast, because Ethan came back, Steven came back, Dalton and Asa both came back. This is a crazy week for like people coming back to the show.
And no, it's here's getting the thing. Crazier.
Here's the thing. You say it's Nostalgia Week after it's already over.
That's the nostalgia.
That's about as nostalgic as you're going to get.
Yeah.
PZ85 plays next Tuesday, new episode. Next Wednesday, Pro Wrestling Unscripted with me and Shannon.
The second best wrestling podcast I know about.
And all new After Dark. And then, fingers crossed, it'll continue to be Horse Time. I don't know why it wouldn't. Asa, plug your shit before we go.
Yes, please.
Nerdiest Part of the Ring. I'm on Twitter at Nerdiest Part. That show's on Twitter at Nerdiest Part. And I'm at the 5-Star Man on Twitter. Oh, I do have something to plug.
Yes.
It's from like 2 weeks ago at this point, but Dalton and I got to interview IGN's Rebecca Valentine.
Yeah.
For the show. Yeah. So that was 2 weeks ago. She is she writes for IGN. I've been a big fan of her work for several years at this point. But she started watching wrestling with AEW. She had never watched it before, never cared about it before, and she's like gotten very invested very quickly. So she is a ton of fun to follow on Twitter, because she's just like, she just tweets out thoughts as they happen. And it's pretty fantastic. So we asked her to be on the show and to just talk about being a new fan of wrestling. And it was a delight. So check that one out.
It's already better than the way Dalton plugged shit, because the first thing he said was, I'm on Nerdiest Part of the Week.
Yes. Which is also a great podcast. That's the spinoff. That's the spinoff.
I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Somewhere. By someone.
Tanner, did I tell you who I'm trying to get for an interview?
No.
I'm trying to get one of two people for I Want to Believe. I'm trying to get either, and I don't know the real names. So, Nuke All from right, Nuke's sweet. Top 5 or Sir Spooks. Ooh. Either of one of those guys, I would be super thrilled with.
About Chills, maybe.
No. No, end the show.
I guess we could do that. there was one other thing I was going to mention, and I don't know what it is now. But yes, go check Asa out for sure. I love Asa. Oh, I was going to ask you. I need you to settle something, Asa. What did you think about the Judgment Day segment from Raw?
I liked it in the sense that it was very interesting to see WWE actually pivot off of a thing that wasn't really clicking instead of just kind of digging their heels in. Part of me thinks that part of it was done because, and this isn't like this isn't a big, you know, news breaking take. This is what half the internet thinks. Part of it is like, oh, we have to have Edge as a face now that Cody's out.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that, yeah, the premise behind it and what they were doing just like really wasn't working for me.
Same.
Like it was like they're doing the supernatural scary vibes, but it was really talking about like respect and being, you know, the greatest of all time and teaching young people. And it was just like, there's a disconnect there. So I'm very excited to see what they do, but I do think that there is a chance that now we start getting scary Demon Balor again and they lean into the more supernatural stuff. And I don't want that.
Me neither. No, I hate supernatural stuff in wrestling. It worked for exactly like one person. That was The Undertaker. Bray Wyatt to an extent, but I preferred Bray Wyatt when he was doing the Funhouse thing. And I loved the theory that it was PTSD. That was an awesome character. And I wish they had kept that going instead of what we got. But anyway, all right. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. You can, of course, check Asa out, Nerdiest Part of the Week, over on Twitter. And for myself and for Double H, for the man himself, Tanner Calvert, for Lindsay Wolfgang, and special guest and good friend, and still part of the podcast. I don't know why I act like he's just like randomly coming in. He's still on the show, you know, once a couple of months.
I leave the Discord every single time I don't record. I just rejoin it.
I have to re-add him. It's a pain in the ass. But for all of us, thank you guys. We'll see you next week with an all-new set of shows. And Hunter, I don't need you to do the outro this time.
Okay.
Because I've already got something to put in at the end.
Well, I'm going to say it anyway. You wanted horse time? Wake up at 4, bitch. Later.